Now, in your Bibles today, we're looking in Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3, and I'd like to read verse number 15 today for a text verse of the message I believe the Lord would have me preach today. The Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." I want to focus in on the last part of verse number 15, the phrase, "And be ye thankful." Our Heavenly Father, if there is one sin that we all commit, it is, Lord, not being thankful enough for what you are doing, what you have done, and what you will do. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'd like to read some other verses to in your hearing today. Psalm 100 in verse number 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." And Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, we are to thank the Lord. And when you begin to study about this thing of thanksgiving, it's really bigger than you think it is in the Bible. Now, we set aside a day in America every year. I believe it's the fourth Thursday of November. And we call that Thanksgiving Day. Now, I enjoy Thanksgiving. I like that day. But that day has gotten to be all about feasting and football and this and that. And that's, and maybe that's, some of that's all right in its place. But let me ask, how do we really thank the Lord? And if we do thank the Lord, is that the only time we thank the Lord? I don't want to just thank him. And I do want to thank him on Thanksgiving Day. And I try to thank the Lord. And by the way, I've not gotten wrong. Thanksgiving's one of my favorite holidays. I love to eat and I love the festivities that go with it. But I want to thank the Lord throughout the year, don't you? Now, when you begin to look at this thing of thanks, the word thankful, the word thankful is found 3 times in the Bible. The word thanks is found 71 times in the Bible. The word thanksgiving is found 27 times in the Bible. So really, if you count that up, about 101 times, those 3 words are found in the Bible. Now, when we are to think about being thankful, we're to thank the Lord in our prayers. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 talks about when we ask petitions and our supplications of God, that we do it with thanksgiving. Do we pray thankful? Do we have thanksgiving? We're to thank the Lord in our singing. Did you know, if you look at Ephesians 5:19, talks about speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then in verse number 20, there's a semicolon there that kind of puts that together. That we're to give thanks, and I believe we're to give thanks in our songs to the Lord. When we sing, I believe some of our songs, and I think some of the greatest songs are those that thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. And then thank you, Lord. I mean, there's a lot of songs that thank the Lord. Amen. And, you know, it's just common manners when somebody does something for you is to thank them, right? Well, praise the Lord. We ought to thank God in our prayers. We ought to thank God in our songs. And then we ought to thank God in his house. Psalm 100, verse number 4 tells us that. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving. When we go to church, we ought to have some thanksgiving. We ought to thank God for allowing us to come back another week and what he's doing and what he's done and how he's blessed us with. And then, number 4, we ought to thank God among the heathen in 2 Samuel 22:50. You know, the whole thing of thanking God, we ought to thank him among those that are lost. And they ought to know that it's God. It's not luck and all this stuff that got us what we got and our our might and our strength. But we ought to thank God that it's him that got us what we have. God said he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. It is God that we ought to be thankful to. We ought to thank God for his goodness and mercy in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. Boy, he sure is good to us, ain't he? He sure is merciful to us. You know, when I think about Ricky Cawthorn, I ought to be in hell today. When I think about Ricky Cawthorn, I don't deserve to sit behind a microphone and preach to a radio audience. I don't deserve that. But I thank God for His mercy and His grace. One fellow said, grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. I think that's pretty good, don't you? I'm glad for God's grace and for His mercy. Then I think we ought to thank God for things that have been accomplished. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse number 31, they gave thanksgiving for the dedication of the wall. You know, when God does something great in our lives, we ought to thank Him for it. And it's not wrong to have a dedication. If you build a new building, or if you do something, whatever you do, a new church building or whatever, we ought to dedicate that to God and thank Him for it. Amen. You know, not long ago, we got into a brand new building here at GBI. And I tell you what, I'm thankful for this new building. And sometimes my mind goes back to where we were. And boy, I mean, nice rooms now with good equipment. And you can just punch buttons and record and do things from room to room. And God's blessed us in that area. And I always want to be mindful, amen, of God's blessings, amen. We can thank God, amen, things that have been accomplished. Then I want to say we need to get clean before thanking God. If you read in the book of Psalms, I believe it is 26, David got clean before he gave thanksgiving. Boy, we want God to hear us. We need to get clean, don't we? Amen. Clean our lives up. Then I think we ought to thank God for our food. In John 6:14, we see where Jesus break the loaves and fishes and thanked God for it. How many of us thank God for the meal that we eat? Now, I don't believe God wants you to go into a restaurant and stand in the middle of the floor when you get your food and say, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a born-again, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist Christian, and I'm going to pray, and I'd appreciate it if all of you would stop what you're doing, bow your heads, and pray with me. Now, I think that's being very disrespectful. But I think that you could bow your head and thank God for your food. Amen. Now, me and my wife do that. We don't eat a meal what we don't thank God for it. And I praise the Lord for it. Amen. We go to my mother-in-law, father-in-laws. We don't eat a meal. We don't eat. That's one thing they don't do. And in the 19 years I've been around them, we don't eat until somebody says a blessing over the food. Most times my father-in-law, he might call on somebody else. We don't eat until that, and I thank God for it. That's a great thing. Amen. We ought to thank God for the food. Amen. And then I want to say this. We're to thank God, at the Lord's Supper. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, we're to thank God for the bread and for the cup. That symbolizes the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to be thankful for Calvary. We're to be thankful for that the Lord has done for us. The Lord did the greatest thing in the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved so much that He gave. And then as He went to Calvary, the Bible said when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. We ought to thank God. Sometimes we as Christians, we lose sight of the suffering that was on Calvary. We lose sight of that. Amen. Then I want to say I think we ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 95, verse number 2 said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. You know, I believe it's joyful to the Lord when we give thanks. I really do. And I fail and you fail for being thankful. Now I'm going to preach on this subject today, and be ye thankful. I asked the Lord how I ought to prepare this message. And this is kind of one of them. I'm just kind of preaching from the heart today. No fancy outline, none of that kind of stuff. I'm not against outlines. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just simply saying today that sometimes I just think we ought to stop and just thank the Lord. You know, my granny used to have hogs. And in the fall of the year, we'd go down in what we call the holler down there below the house, and we'd pick up acorns that would fall off the oak trees. And we'd take big 5-gallon black buckets, and we'd pour those acorns into that hog trough. And those hogs would come running. But they never looked up to see where their blessing came from. And I think one of the biggest sins of America in the Day of Judgment, when God judges the nations, I think one of the biggest sins of America will be unthankfulness. I think we're raising generations of kids now to be unthankful. Kids expect so much now. It may shock you, especially you young people. I never asked my daddy and mom anything for Christmas. If I did, it was very little. My daddy worked hard in the furniture factory. My mama worked hard in the furniture factory and in nursing homes. And they had a hard life. And they didn't have a lot of money. I think about it. When I was 15 years old, my mama went down to my uncle's house and borrowed $50. Now, this was money back in those days. So we could go to an amusement park and spend the day. My mama had to work and pay that back. Us boys didn't have to pay it back. Mama did. And I remember that, brother. Things stick in my mind like that. Amen. God always took care of us. But I tell you what, it'll make you be thankful. Amen. And I want to say we ought never forget where we come from. I probably live better than my parents did. I probably have more money. I probably have a nicer home. I probably live a little bit better than they did. But I want to say that I ought never, never, ever, never forget where I came from. I just want to give you some things today, and be ye thankful, and be ye thankful. Number one, keeping in mind all these verses we've read on thankfulness, and keeping in mind, he said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I want God to know I'm thankful. I think about this before I get in the mess. I think about those 10 lepers that came to the Lord. And God healed every one of them. But there was only one that turned around and gave thanks for that. And Jesus asked him, he said, where are the nine? Now, this is what I believe about that scripture, and I could be wrong. I believe 10 men got cleansed of their leprosy. But I believe only one of them got saved by the grace of God. That man that turned around and thanked God, I believe he got saved right there. I believe God honored his faith. But those other 10, they were just glad they got the outside cleaned up. And you know, a lot of people are like a bunch of, and I don't want to call people hogs, but a lot of people have that nature. They never look up to see where their blessings come from. Number one, I want to thank the Lord for salvation. I want to thank God for salvation. Boy, I tell you what, January 22nd, 1978, there's never been a day like that day. I went to church a little lost sinner. I went to church on my way to hell. I left church on my way to heaven. I left church a saved, born-again saint. I didn't know what all had happened to me. I knew I'd called on the Lord. I knew the Lord had saved me. But I was so clean on the inside. Now, I remember going to school the next day, and I was so clean on the inside. Oh, what a feeling. God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I'd like to go back and just wallow in the fact that I got saved and how I felt that day. We get carried away with us as preachers. We get cares on us. We get burdens on us. And we try to get a message over here and a message over there. And we're always working to do something. And we forget sometimes where we were when we got saved. Now, I want to say I don't think you ought to get up in the church after you get saved and give a big long testimony and tell every woman you ever run with and every man you ever run with and every beer you ever drunk. I think that's a disgrace to your family. But I don't think you ought to ever forget where you came from. I don't think some of you came from horrible situations. I think you always ought to remember where God lifted you and how God blessed you and how God lifted you out. Amen? Yes, sir. Amen. You ought to be thankful for salvation. Boy, I thank God for salvation, don't you? I tell you what, I thank God the night the men came and led my mama to the Lord, and then we all got saved. Thank God. Number two, let me give you this. I want to thank God for the Bible. I want to thank God that I have the perfect book. Now, you can do what you want to do. I'm not going to fuss with you about it. But I've got that King James Bible in the English, and that Bible is a perfect book. Amen. I got where I look words up in the English. Amen. I don't have a Greek Bible. I don't have a Hebrew Bible. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just simply saying that's my Bible. I'm just simply saying there's not one mistake in that King James Bible. I'll say that authoritatively. I'll say this, that there's not a word in there that the translators should have put differently. I'll go out on a limb and say that. Amen. God put it in there. God did not call me to tear the Bible apart. God called me to preach that Bible. God didn't call me to undermine that Bible. God called me to preach it. I have went to bed with that book in my bed. I love Bibles. Now, some of you love guns. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with loving guns. Amen. If I had my full eyesight, I'd probably be right there with you. But I love Bibles. Sometimes I get them out and they got that new smell on them. I just smell of them. Amen. I love Bibles. I've had 3 Bibles in the last year, brand new ones. And boy, I thank God for it. I've got one right now. You got to understand my old eyesight, and I don't complain about it. But dear preacher gave me a machine where I could read, put a book under it and read. And I still got that machine. And so I use these machines. Now I've got three of them. And I can lay my Bible out. Now I couldn't do this for years, but I can lay my Bible out now and read from. And I got that new Bible in the mail the other day. And I just got that Bible down, just started meditating in it and reading in it. And I hope I get to wear it out for God. I want to thank God that not one promise in this Bible's ever failed. Why, friend, if I go to the surgeon's table, the Bible's still right. Why, friend, if I go down to the graveyard to bury a loved one, the Bible's still right. Why, friend, if the doctor comes in tomorrow and says, Mr. Cothran, you have cancer and you only have 6 weeks to live, the Bible's still true. My friend, do you know in my marriage the Bible's true? In my ministry, the Bible is true. In the miracles God has performed for me, the Bible is true. Amen. In the mire of the storm, the Bible is still true. Amen. I'm going to say to you, my friend, in the murkiness of the day and the trouble that we're in, the Bible is still true. Thank God you still have a Bible. Now, the communists, the first thing they'll do is try to take your Bibles away from you. And there was a man in China. They took his Bible away for 25 years. He didn't have a Bible. And he only had to go on what he knew. Boy, that'd be bad if we had to just go on what scripture we know in our heart, wouldn't it? That'd be bad if we just had to have church Sunday based on what scriptures we got. But man, you got 66 books of the Bible. 39 in the old, 27 in the new. Great treasures. One prayer I pray every morning. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Boy, I tell you, I love that Bible, don't you? I love my Bible. I thank God. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for salvation. Have you ever thanked God for your Bible? Have you ever thanked God? You know, we take the Bible for granted. We got it on computer. We got it on our phone. I've got it on both my computers, office and work. I've got it on my phone. That's three places. Then I've got a stack of Bibles at home. I found not long ago that little black-back Bible that my mama bought me Christmas of 1977. Little pages about to fall out of that Bible. I carried that Bible to church, a little cheap Bible. I found the other night a Bible I was reading from, looked in the front of it, and it was my ordination Bible. Oh, friend, let me tell you, I love Bibles. I love Bibles, don't you? Thank God for the Bible. We ought to read it, do it, live by it. We ought to practice it. We ought to study it. We ought to meditate in it. We ought to read it. Amen. We ought to carry it. We ought to tell people about it. I thank God for the Bible. Do you thank God for the Bible? I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for salvation. Number two, I thank God for the Bible. Then I want to say number three, I want to thank God for the call to preach. I want to thank God that He allowed me to be a preacher. Now everybody's not called to preach. I'm going to say this, you must be called to preach. And if you're not called to preach, get out of it. Amen. But let me say this to you. I thank God for being a preacher. There's no greater calling on the face of God's earth than being a man of God. I get the message from God, then I give it to the people. That's God's way. Now, I'm not a priest. I'm a preacher. The people have just as much right to study the Bible as I do. But God entrusts me with the message of the hour on radio and to America. I have a great responsibility. The more people you reach, the more responsibility you have. You know, when I was a young boy, I always wanted to preach. And when I was 5 years old, they said that I got down to the Baptist hospital one night, and I played like I was preaching. Hadn't never been to church much. They said nurses and people were stopping and coming in there. I mean, I was making such a noise. Well, the Bible said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I believe God knew I'd preach. Now listen, God gave me a free will to get saved. I didn't have to. But God knew that if I'd get saved, I'd preach, and God knew I'd get saved. So when I got about 14, 15 years old, I wanted to preach. And God said, no, wait a little while. And I don't know why God did that. You know, some fellas announced it at 12, and I've heard tell of some people announced it at 5 years old, but God's told me to wait a little while. So when I got 17, God began dealing with me about preaching the Word of God. And I remember Thanksgiving Eve, the night before Thanksgiving, 1983. I was in the middle section of the Ronda Baptist Tabernacle, sitting in that big old church. There wasn't nobody sitting on that front row but me. Brother Jack Osborne's in heaven now. Brother Jack was preaching that night. He just became our pastor. And And I was under such conviction about preaching, I started out on one end of that pew and slid all the way to the other end of that pew. When the service was over, I was sitting on the whole other end of the pew. I remember going to church. There was a dear lady. She's in heaven now. And, oh, what a great saint of God she was. And she loved the Lord. And I was in service one night, and this dear lady got to testifying. I mean, the church is full of people. I was sitting on the front row, and this lady got to testifying. She said, I'll tell you right now. She said, there might be somebody here tonight. The Lord's calling you to preach. I thought, dear lady, please don't come up here. And I believe that woman had enough God on her. I believe she could have laid her hand on me and pointed me out, but I was scared that I was afraid she was going to do it. She didn't. I'm glad she didn't. But you know what? God started dealing me to preach. So I had this bright idea. Every time I started reading my Bible, God would start dealing with me about preaching. So I had the idea. I said, I'll just quit reading my Bible. I'll just put it up. Well, that didn't work. I was like old Jeremiah. That fire kept burning. In 1984, we switched churches, and the pastor sensed that God was working with me about preaching the gospel. And the pastor came to me, I'll never forget it. He said, Wednesday night I'm going to give you 15 minutes to teach. I said, thank you. Oh, that set my soul on fire. And I prayed about it, talked to him about it, prayed about it. The next Wednesday night I announced my call to preach, October 24, 1984. God made me a preacher. Now, I'm not a good preacher. I don't have all my words in place. I never went to Bible college. I kind of wished I could have. I wished I could have sat under Dr. Seitler. That's what I wished I could have done. That's where I wished I could have went, to Bible college. I wished I could have, but I didn't. I didn't do that. Whether I didn't or couldn't and didn't really have the opportunity, I came from a poor family, but I didn't pursue that, and I wished I had. And I'm not a good preacher. I've had to learn things the hard way. Now, folk, I want to tell you something. I love you on the radio. And I don't ever want to come. I've been praying to God to make me gentle. David said, thy gentleness hath made me great. Well, I don't know about being great, but I just want to be gentle in my preaching. And some of y'all might think I'm a little hard and things, and I want you to know that I love you. And I want to thank God that I'm a radio preacher. I just want to thank God He put me on the radio. Now, ever since I was a young boy, I wanted to preach on the radio. Brother Jim Woody, Jim's in heaven now. Jim took us down to the local radio station, let us sing. And I never forget that. And I thank God for it. Amen. And then I preached on the radio in 1985, my first time. But let me say this. I thank God for the call to preach. The old devil's come to me in my life. He's tempted me about doing other things. He's tempted me about politics. He's tempted me about this, that. But listen, I can't do that. I got to stay a preacher. I cannot quit preaching. I've been so discouraged, I've thought about just quitting preaching. Oh, friend, you don't believe the storms I've fit. The people I've had come against me, you just don't know. I don't fight battles. I don't tell you everything. And I come on the radio, and you think, man, and I'm not a good pretender. I'll be honest with you. When things ain't on the top of the world, they just ain't on top of the world. But I've not shared with people things that have been said about me and done over 42 years, 41 years of preaching the Bible. But I want to say something. I've always tried to stay forgiving. And one thing that I've always tried to stay away from is bitterness. The Greek word in the Bible is the word poison for bitter. And let me tell you something. If you take enough poison, it'll kill you. And I don't ever want to get bitter at a brother or a sister or at somebody that when I pastored that left my church or somebody that, listen, not everybody that leaves a church is of the devil. I want you to understand that. There's some good people sometimes that get carried away and they leave and things. And I want to be all the people I've ever pastored. I can go back and shake their hand, look them straight in the eye and say, God bless you. I don't have anything against any of them. God knows that. I want my heart to be clean. I want to be a preacher, but for years, God seemed fit to let me be a preacher in the radio. Now, I do preach in pulpits, and I stay a little bit busy, and it's been a little busier lately, and I appreciate the men that let me come. You men that let me come, I'll assure you of one thing. I'll never hurt your church. I'll never come in and try to tire your church up or straighten your church out. I'm not going to do that. That ain't my job, but I thank God for making me a preacher. A preacher's a peculiar creature. When you announce your call to preach at a young age, quite frankly, you run the risk of not getting married for a while. But why? Because girls are afraid of preachers. Most girls don't want to live a preacher's life. A lot of girls are afraid the preacher's going to get sent to the mission field or he's going to get sent somewhere. And I can't tell you where God's going to end up putting me. I'm in the radio. I hope I stay here. I have plans to stay here till I die. But I don't know what God's going to do. I'm open to anything God tells you. All your life, you need to be open to what God tells you. I'm glad God made me a preacher. I'm so glad God made me a preacher. Amen. Well, that brings me to number four, and it just fits right in. I want to thank God for my wife. I thank God for Christy. Oh, she's been such a blessing to me. And I've not always been the best husband in the world. I've not. But my wife's been the best wife in the world. My wife said something to me the other day, and it grabbed a hold of me and just shook me to my foundation. She said, Ricky, she said, my job is to take care of you. And let me tell you, that woman takes care of me, buddy. She has spoiled me rotten. My mama spoiled me, and my wife has spoiled me. I'm honest about it. God's blessed me. Now, I want to tell you young people something. I want you to listen to me. This is a big burden on my heart in these days about young people. And I'm not going to holler and scream at you today, but I'm going to tell you something. You can marry the wrong person any day of the week. It happens all the time. I just said that, amen, up here in the office this morning to somebody. I said, you know, you can get the wrong person any day of the week. I said, but the thing is, you're going to live with that the rest of your life. Now, you say, well, preacher, if it don't work out, I'll just go down and get a divorce. That may be true. And if you're divorced and remarried, you've got to do the best you can. Nobody's against you. I'm not against you, friend. There are things you're not going to be able to do in the work of the Lord, but I'm not against you. I'm not against you. But let me say something about that, though. Let me say something about that. You know, and I know, that your life will never be right again. There's something about it that's different. When you get that divorce, it's just messed up the rest of your life. Now, you young people need to listen to me. I waited on the right wife, and she never came. I mean, the tears came, the prayers came, and I waited. Other people's getting married. Other fellas is getting church. And by the way, nobody really didn't want a guy, a pastor wasn't married, I don't guess. There's one church took a chance on me. I started a church, and well, there's really two. Two churches took a chance on me. Three. I guess I pastored three and four. Let's see, I started that one church. So I pastored four, not being married. One I started, and it's no longer. I've started two churches in my life. One's still going. I was married when I started it. But one church took an interest in me, not being married, and I had a good ministry there. And God bless me. But let me say, it was tough not having a wife. Now, my wife didn't come easy. It just didn't come. God sent me my wife in the most unusual manner. I'd been praying for a wife, and I was in Resaca, Georgia, for Brother Sammy Allen's camp meeting in the year 2006. That's been 20 years from the time I'm preaching this now. And I was there 2006. On a Monday afternoon, the man I was with, he went over to the afternoon service. I didn't go to the afternoon service. I stayed there that afternoon, and I had my Bible and my computer. I was doing some studying. I was going to go back to the night service. And I was there in the hotel, and God said to me that afternoon, he said, son, do you want to know why you've been single for all these years? And I started to cry. I said, Lord, I do. I was 39 years old. And I fell on my knees in the hotel room in Calhoun, Georgia. And I said, God, I'd like to know. He said, I got a message I want you to preach. He said, I want you to preach this message on how to deal with being single. Now, we haven't used that message in years, and I've been thinking about going back and re-recording that. And it's helped so many people. I met a young lady in Lexington, North Carolina one time. She said, me and my wife met this lady. She said, oh, that message helped me, and I appreciate that. Well, God said, now, when you go back to North Carolina and record that, I'll give you a wife. Well, I got up and didn't think no more about that. You know, I said, well, okay, whatever, I'll do that. I didn't think no more about it. I went on to service the next morning. Boy, God was still working, but I didn't know it. I thought everything was fine. I went to service the next morning. I sat down in the pew, and I never forget a dear brother out of Tennessee. He was preaching those morning services. And there wasn't a whole lot going on, but at the end of the service, they gave the altar call. I mean, people just wasn't shouting, jumping the pews, what I mean. I mean, the preacher did a great job, but the people just wasn't, you know, it was just one of them services where it's kind of quiet, you know. And all of a sudden, God said to me that morning, go to the altar. Now, I didn't know why I was going, but I knew the Holy Spirit told me to go, so I obeyed the Spirit of God. That's the key to life, being sensible, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I knelt down that great big altar, and I never forget it. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, son, he said, I've heard your prayers. I'm going to give you a wife. My friend, you don't understand what went through me. I mean, I sat straight up in that altar and looked at my watch. It's 18 minutes till 11 on the 20 7th day of June, I believe it was. I want to get the date right. I believe it's June the 27th of 2006, 18 minutes to 11. And I looked around. There were people coming to that altar everywhere. God was just quietly working all over that building. Brother Sammy Allen came over there, laid his hand on me. Brother Sammy didn't know me well. And Brother Sammy said, son, he said, would you like to tell the people what God's done for you? And I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And I thought, I sure ain't going to tell a whole camp meeting because I might be wrong. I said, I believe God's done something. And I went and sat down. Now, many years later, let me say many years later to the day, June the 27th, same day, but it was many years later. I got to go back right before Brother Sammy died. And I called him aside and I said, Brother Sammy, right over here in 2006 in that altar right there is where God showed me he's going to give me my wife. Me and Brother Sammy, we rejoiced together and we prayed together. And you see, Brother Sammy put years into that camp meeting. But God answered a prayer there at that camp meeting. They didn't give me a wife at the camp meeting, but God answered a prayer for me. Now, there's still one thing left. I had to go to North Carolina and record that message. Well, I got home. That was June. I don't know why in the world I didn't record that message the next day, but I didn't. I waited to August to record that message. And I recorded the sermon. And brother, in September, I began talking to the girl that would eventually be my wife. In November, I went down to meet my wife in Jackson, Mississippi. And we met. We met at a pizza place. Had a man drive me down to Jackson. And I was going to meet her for the first time. And I told the fellow, I said, now listen, I'm going to meet this guy. I was nervous about that. Boy, I was nervous. Went in there. And I don't know why I did it. Instead of washing my hands in the sink, I turned the shower on, the bathtub on, to get some water. I don't know why I did it. And somebody before me left the shower on. Man, it sprayed my coat and wet my coat and all. And I had to go meet that girl. And I was so nervous. But I want to say this to you. I say I was so nervous. I was nervous, but I wasn't. In other words, when I first met her, I've told her many times. I said, Christy, I could have married you the day I met you. Second day of November 2006, I could have married you. And it wasn't long. She came up and met my family. And then she said to me, now, if you're going to marry me, she said, you're going to go meet my family. I said, well, I'm not marrying your family. She said, if you marry me, you're going to meet her. I want to meet her family. What a nice family. They've been good to me. I got the best mother and father-in-law in the whole world. Ain't nobody could have been no better than me. I got the best family in the whole world. I got two nephews. I love those boys with all my heart. Good sister-in-law. I married into a good family. But I thank God for my wife. It's not been easy for me and my wife. You don't understand things. Me and my wife got married. She came to a church that she didn't know anything about. She came to a church I'd been pastoring for 6 years, and now she was the preacher's wife, a whole different role. Well, I stayed there 1 year. God allowed me to leave. God told me to leave. God wanted me to leave. God impressed me to leave. I prayed to God. I begged the Lord to let me stay, and God said, no, you got to leave. So we went out into evangelism and missionary, trying to work support for the radio. We was trying to buy WCOK in Sparta. Gas went to $4 a gallon. And I didn't know how I was going to pay our bills. I still tied into a situation there with Mom and Daddy a little bit. And God miraculously worked all that out. But boy, we went through a lot of tribulation. I'm not going to tell you all my troubles on the radio, but we got married in 2007. 2010, my Mom and Daddy, when I was 48 years old, they had to split up. Mama couldn't live with him. Daddy got too dangerous to live with. My Mama called me one Saturday night, I'll never forget it. She said, Ricky, you're preaching in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina this morning, ain't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, when you get through, I want you to come by the house today. I said, all right. She said, I'm leaving you, Daddy. She said, I won't be going back to him. She said, I'm done. She said, I can't live with him any longer. She never would tell me what all happened. I don't know what happened. She never would tell me. But Daddy got too dangerous for her to live with. Well, we went down there, and Mama left him. Well, that started a world of my Daddy had cancer and things, and he couldn't drive anymore, so a lot of things fell on me and my wife to have to do. Then my mama was getting Alzheimer's. My Daddy had cancer. And in the middle of that, I went to the mountains and started a church. And we started getting that new building on the ground. About time we did, Daddy had a stroke. and I was back and forth the rest home and trying to get that building built. Now, you preachers think about going through a building program, and your daddy have a stroke, and your mama, you seen she's getting a little worse. And right about a month after daddy died, mama's Alzheimer's really came to the forefront. And brother, let me tell you, my wife stuck with me through every bit of that. We've sacrificed through that. We lost part of our life, so to speak, through that. But my wife never one time said, I'll leave you. My wife never one time said, I'll get the lawyer and we'll draw the divorce papers up. My wife stuck with me through the thick and the thin. She stayed right there. By the way, that's what you ought to do. God help you, women. I'll leave him because he's a preacher. God help you, you're selfish. I'll leave her because things don't turn out right and I found another one I'm more compatible with. God help you, you're selfish. God's not in that. I want to thank God for my wife. My wife has never asked for great riches. My wife don't live in the best home now. We got a little old home and 2 acres of land. My wife's as happy as a lark in a lemon bush. My wife cooks the greatest meals. My wife does the greatest things. My wife took college courses to be in library science. My wife can research anything. And I've had some health issues, minor health issues over the last years. My wife's done extensive research, tried to figure out what vitamins and things help. Listen, you ought to go home and hug your wife and thank God for your wife. Preacher, I want to tell you something. You wouldn't be where you are today if it wasn't for your wife. You may have the meetings and you may have the reputation, and that may be good. I've got nothing wrong with that. But you wouldn't be where you are if it wasn't for your wife. My wife pointed out something to me one day. You remember all those kings in the Bible that did wrong, and then the next king would do right, but it would give their mother's name? And I said, I wonder about that. And my wife said, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought that king was wicked, but maybe that mother raised that boy to do what was right? Boy, I thank God for my wife. Thank God for the call to preach. Thank God for my Bible. Thank God for salvation. I want to thank God, number five, for the church. I want to thank God for the church. I have nothing bad to say about God's church. I know there's problems in churches. And I know that if you're looking for the perfect church, you will never find it. I know that you're going to disagree with things. Well, I just ain't going there because I disagree with this and that and the other thing. But I'm going to tell you something. You better go where God told you. I'll never forget this several years ago. I was in a fix. This was before I was married. Boy, I was just jumping in this and out of that. I mean, I was so confused. And that was a church in our area, and it was going pretty big at that time. And I said, I know what I'll do. I'll go down there and I'll find me a girlfriend. I'll find me a wife. Well, see, that was Ricky trying to do that. That's 10 years before I ever got married. Well, I went down there and that didn't ever happen. And I was sitting there in the pews one night and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, I want you to get to a certain church. That's where I want you to be a member at. And I reminded the Lord as if he didn't know that there wasn't really any girls in that church. My age, really, but not that I could talk to. The Lord already knew that. He didn't need me to tell him. Well, I went on and joined that church. Hadn't been there 2 weeks and Christmas came. And they decided they'd put Christmas trees in the church. And my Pharisaical attitude kicked me in the ribs. And I said, I'll leave this church. I'm not staying here with all them Christmas trees. I don't believe in that. I'm not going to do that. That ain't right, putting a Christmas tree in a church. Holy Spirit grabbed the hold of the ropes of my life and said, hold it, boy. He said, you be still. And for 4 years in that church, I had the best 4 years I believe I've ever had. And let me say to you, that's where GBI was born. Out of that church. I want to say to you, you better stay where God puts you. It may not look right sometimes. It may not feel right. But I thank God for the church. I've probably been more negative about the church than any preacher. I believe we're living in the Laodicean hour. But I love God's church. You know, the church of Corinth was God's church. The church in Philemon's house was a church. The church of Thessalonica was a church. The church at Philadelphia was a church. The church of Ephesus left its first love, but it's still a church. My friend, listen to me. You better be careful about the local church. I mean, I know there's some things that call themselves a church, not a church, but I want to thank God for the church. Boy, I tell you what, through the church, I've had great blessing. Through the church, God's taken care of me. I'm not a freeloader. I guess you'd consider me full-time in the ministry. I'm supported by churches and God's people. I've been able to do that now. I've been able to be full-time in the ministry now, really, all my life. All my life, been able to be full-time in the ministry. I thank God for that. Boy, that's been good. I thank God for every little church and every big church that I go in and preach. I'm not worthy to preach in the big ones, and I'm not worthy to preach in the little ones. But I'll go preach to 5 as well as 500. Amen. I try to go if it's a decent place to preach, if it's a place where I can preach and have the freedom of the Word of God. I thank God for the church. Boy, there's some preachers out there that I was thinking about a preacher yesterday, and him and his wife, they have a lot of health issues. And I preach for this fella regularly. I preach for him regularly. I mean, it's just regularly. I preach for him. Every time I go to his church, I'm in his area, he wants me to preach for him. But, you know, I thought about it. I thought about, you know, I want to contact him at a different time of the year than when I go by in his area because I want him to know I love him. I don't want anybody to think that I'm just there to get a place to preach. Friend, I don't ever want to use a man to get a place. You know, I've got 1, 2, 3. I got at least 3 preachers. I know of 3 and maybe more. They've given me open invitation. They said, anytime you want to preach, come to our church. And I think 2 of them would really enjoy it if I'd come more. I really do think they would. But God knows, I don't want to take advantage of those preachers. Now, I might come to their church sometime, and I might preach. But I don't want to take advantage of any preacher. I got a little church up on the side of a highway. I bet they ain't running 8 or 10 people. For almost 20 years, 17 years, they've been sending me $25 a month in the mail, never miss. Friend, I thank God for the church. Don't come telling me what's wrong with the church. Don't come telling me there's bad people in every church. Preacher, if you just knew what this one does, I don't want to know what they do. I'm going to let the Lord straighten that out. I can't straighten all that out. Listen, friend, I'm not God's dictator. I'm not God's sheriff. I used to think I was, but I'm not God's sheriff. I want God to make me gentle. I want to come there. Now I'm not going to compromise on anything I've been preaching. And I'm going to keep preaching against sin, liquor, shacking up together, not being married, living together, sex outside marriage, dope, marijuana, pills. I'm preaching against it. I'm going to preach against gambling, cussing, lying, stealing, cheating. I'm going to preach against that. But I'm not going to be mad at the sinner. I just want to preach what God wants me to with the fervor that God wants me to preach it. But I want to realize that the church is not perfect. The church is not perfect, friend. The church, today our churches are in a pitiful condition. Our churches need God. But our churches need some preacher in love just to help our churches and say, look, you could get back to doing it this way. You don't have to be ugly about it. I thank God for the church. And then I want to say this. I thank God for my pastor. I've had several pastors. Just yesterday, I had a former pastor text me, one of the greatest pastors I ever had. I had a former pastor text me yesterday and asked me how things were going in the ministry. I love my preachers. A lot of my former pastors are in heaven. I think about Brother Ivan Dameron, who took me under his wing right after I got saved. He's in heaven. I think about Dean Chandler, who gave me the first Bible I could ever read. He's in heaven. I think about Jack Osborne, who's in heaven now, and he helped me out so tremendously. I think about a dear old man that goes under the radar, Brother Junior Royal, who taught me so much about God and loved me. He loved me, and I loved him. I think about some of these men that are in heaven now, former pastors of mine that are in heaven. And I think about some of them that are still living. And the preacher I've got now is my friend. I love my pastor. You know, I can call him, talk to him about anything in the world. He can call me and he can talk to me about anything. Well, I don't bother my preacher. He's a busy man. He's got hundreds of people to pastor. I don't bother him. But every once in a while, he'll call me. And by the way, he calls me more than I do him. But sometimes I'll text him and just say, preacher, that's a great message. It's like this past Sunday night, he preached one of the best messages. I just eaten that up. Boy, I loved it. I want to learn from the Bible. I love my preacher. Boy, you ought every once in a while, I pulled a little piece of money out, Pastor Appreciation Day, and gave to one of my former pastors one time when him was sitting there talking. He said, "Now, Brother Cawthorn, you don't have to do that." I said, "That's all right. I got more of them. What I get." And listen, I want to say this. If God bless me, I want to bless this somebody else. My brother, the Bible talked about how beautiful are the feet of the man that preach. I want to have you ever thanked God? Not thank your pastor for him. But have you ever thanked God for your pastor? Have I ever went to God and thanked God for my pastor? Before I joined the church that I'm a member of now, I remember one time I went through a great heartache. And me and my wife, we went through one of the greatest heartaches, and it wasn't our marriage or anything like that. It was something else. It's something in the ministry. We went through one of the greatest heartaches we ever had. And I remember she got so upset, she came home from the office, and she'd just sit and cry. And I'd tell her to be quiet, and then I'd start crying. She'd tell me to be quiet, and then she'd start crying. We cried the whole day. I never forget it. But I had two or three preacher friends. I'm thinking of one right now. I had a preacher friend of mine in South Carolina call me, and he said, "Brother Cawthorn," he called me two or three times, said, "I want to check on you." I never forgot it. And then I had my pastor now. He wasn't my pastor then, but he called me. He said, "Rick," he calls me Rick. He said, "Rick," said, "are you all right?" And he talked me through that. But I want to thank God for my pastor, don't you? Thank God for my pastor. And then, you know, I ain't good at this, but I want to thank God for being able to sing. God's given me a few songs. I sat one morning as low as a man could go and wrote a little line of a song. A sparrow don't mean much to this world, but God cares when to the ground one falls. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus takes care of it all. I sat and wrote that little song. I ain't no singer. You won't believe this, but I've had people write recently on the radio and ask me, did I have a CD? Now, you people are really desperate for punishment, ain't you? You want to hear me? You play me singing, and the crows bring back the corn they stole 5 years ago in your garden. Amen. I'm not a good singer. Amen. But you know, I thank God the ability to sing a little bit. I like to sing. I led the choir for 5 years, didn't know what I was doing. I led the music, but I enjoyed leading that singing. I enjoyed leading the congregation. I love leading congregation singing. I love it. I love to sing. Thank God for the ability to sing. Thank God. I went in for some kind of procedure, and I got through. I didn't tell the doctor to do it, but he's one of the best in the business. He said, "Listen," when I came out, he said, "your esophagus needed stretching." And so he said, "I stretched your esophagus." Well, it did make me swallow better. It made me feel better. You know, I think about my throat every once in a while. Man, this old throat's preached 41 years at least one time a week and more than that. And boy, God's given me that old throat. Let me do it. You know, number eight, I want to thank God for the brethren. I was talking about my friend down in South Carolina that called me. Boy, I've had some people. I'll never forget this. One time I was sick at my home. I wasn't married at that time. I had a well-known preacher. He's a pastor. He's an evangelist. He preached all over everywhere. And somebody went to the meeting and told him, "I was sick. He's in a hurry." And I was there. And my mama came to me and said, "You got a phone call from so-and-so." I said, "What in the world? What does he want with me?" I'm a little country preacher. And I got on the phone. He said, "Preacher," said, "I heard you're sick." Said, "I just won't tell you, you know." Boy, he just encouraged me. Have you ever just been an encouragement to somebody? Sometimes I'll have somebody distant. I had a preacher. He's one of my dear friends. He's an evangelist preacher all over America. He's in missions. Many of you have him in your churches, and many of you have him every year. He's a great man. One morning, my daddy on Sunday night had suffered a massive stroke. They called me and my brother into the Allegheny Hospital in Allegheny County, North Carolina. My daddy was laying on the table. And that doctor was so scared, he's scared to death. He took that scan of my daddy. He said, "You better spend all your time you can with your daddy." I got in the ambulance that night, rode down the road, and that little girl, 20-year-old girl, right driving that vehicle. And I never forget it. I don't know what her last name was. But I called her by her first name. She had told me what her name was. And I sat in the front seat. She was driving that thing and had another attendant in the back. My daddy's back there. They thought he's going to die. They come down Sparta Mountain, come down them curves, and that thing, the brakes on that thing was making a noise, and Finally, we got down on flat land. I asked her, I said, young lady, how fast are you going? She said, 90. I said, can you hold this thing? She said, I can. And them old sirens are going, boy, and I thought my daddy's going to die. Got down at the hospital. But about a day later, I think it was a day or the next day, maybe it was 24 hours after that, I don't remember, 48 hours, I don't know, I was heading for Winston that morning. I got a text on my phone. It didn't say who it was or anything. I found out who it was, but it didn't say it was at the first of it. It started out like this, Dear Lord, something to this effect of that. Bless Brother Cothran, whatever he's going through today. From that text is one of my dear friends. I don't call people's names on the radio if they're still alive. I don't call them on the radio. You die, I'll call your name out. No, but from that was born my text ministry that I do. Now, if you ever get a text from me, dear pastor, evangelist, missionary, if you ever get a text from me that says I'm praying for you, you know that I've spent time praying. I had a man the other day, and he's in I'm not going to discuss what all it is, but he in his ministry, it's very, very, he has to be careful in the ministry he's in. But he sent me a text, said, preacher, he said, certain things come, and said, would you pray? I've been praying for him. My friends are a blessing. I've loved them in my youthful days. I love them when I get old. And I'm going to need them. They're more precious than gold. I need my friends. I met some people that were my childhood heroes. Preachers and singers. And I've met them. And they've been dear friends to me. I think about Brother Noah Fry. Any of y'all ever know Brother Noah Fry? Pastored Spruce Street Baptist Church for 32 years, if I'm right. Brother Fry went into evangelism. Brother Fry got a little age on him, really in his 60s, early 70s. Brother Fry was a radio preacher, but God had called him to do other things. He's preaching evangelistical meetings. One Friday night, I believe it was, in a meeting in Surrey County, North Carolina, Brother Fry came to me. It was an unusual service. I forget what was going on. Maybe they were playing, people coming to the altar. I don't know. Brother Fry came to me. He laid both his hands on both my shoulders and looked me square in the eye. This is what he said to me. Now, son, you carry the radio ministry on. I'm getting too old. He turned around and walked away. I'm not Oliver Green. I'm not Harold Siler, and I'm not Noah Fry. But what a burden that man laid upon me. And for these years, Brother Fry, you're in heaven now. I'm trying to carry it on. Let me move on. Let me say I thank God, number 9, for my blessings. Oh, my. I thank God for my blessings. Boy, the Lord's blessed me. I'll have good food to eat today. When I get home today from the office, my wife will have me a good meal, thank God. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. My tires go farther than the warranty says. You know, the other day I went to have a new battery put in my car. Do you know that battery had been in that car for 6 years? Usually they take them out in 3 or 4 years. That battery had been in that car for 6 years. Boy, God blesses me and Miss Christie. God bless us going up down the highways. I was in Tennessee. Pulled up at a service station. I heard something going, psh! I looked and air was coming out my tire. Boy, my heart just sunk. I went there, I said, ma'am, call me a tow truck. Heading to Mississippi. She said, sir, the tire shop's about a half mile down the road. I said, I believe I can make it. Thank you. I'll never forget it. The fellow down there, I'll never forget him at that tire shop. I said, I want to meet him. He come out there. He said, sir, I'll have you back on the road in a few minutes. Sweetwater, Tennessee. I'll never forget it. Boy, I tell you, God's blessed me. Just this morning, coming to work, my wife, about 70, 80 mile an hour on the interstate, probably about 70 mile an hour, somebody pulled right out in front of her. Boy, my wife started slamming the brakes on, and I'm about blind, but I seen that car. I said, we're going to hit it. There ain't no way we're going to get out of that. We're going to hit it. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. I believe he just reached out and put some extra space between us and that car. I don't know how in the world we missed that car. I mean, I ain't lying. I sat back in the seat and I wondered for a second if I'm going to have a heart attack. I felt my pulse, see if my heart was beating. Well, God's blessed me. Then number 10, I close with this one. And be ye thankful. I want to thank God for the privilege of prayer. I want to thank God for the privilege to pray. Praying's not a burden. Praying is a privilege. If you don't have a prayer list, you are missing the blessings of life. If you don't learn to pray for other people, you're missing the blessing. It's not all about you. Life ain't about Ricky Cothran. Life ain't about my ministry and my work. Life is about these other preachers and other churches. Life's about your church. Pastor, this may shock you, but I'm interested in you and your church. I'm not trying to get a meeting out of you. I'm not even interested in you so I can get mission support out of you. I'm interested in you because you're vital to America to keep the communists off this country. You're vital to our young people. We need you churches. We need you preachers. We need every one of you. We need you young and old. We need you. Oh, listen, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for people. People that are sick. People that need our prayers. I got some folk right now that I'm concerned about. I want to see God touch them. You ought to see my sick list I pray for. I want to see God. God said, and be ye thankful. I think about those old hogs. I don't want to be a hog that never looks up to thank God. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word means umpire. The word rule, like a baseball game. I'm going to let the peace of God call the balls and strikes in my heart, to the which also ye are called in one body. I don't want to spend my time fighting no other brother, because we're in the same body. The arm's not supposed to fight the leg, and the head's not supposed to fight the foot. He said at the end of that verse, and be ye thankful. Our Heavenly Father, take the message, use it for your glory on this great day. May it touch many lives. In Jesus' name.